You know, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was upon this earth, the Lord Jesus was a very single-minded preacher, because the Bible says he was always about his Father's business. And of course, that's a very important thing for a preacher to be, is about the Master's business, realizing he's not there to try to tell the people how much he knows and influence them by his authority or oratory. But that he might realize that he's on the king's business and he's here to preach the word of God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was also a very simple preacher, because whenever the Savior was upon this earth, friend, he took the very earthly stories that people could understand, that even the smallest child could understand, and he took them and he illustrated powerful heavenly meanings. But the messages which he had to bring was certainly very simple. For example, you remember the two builders. One man built his house upon the sand, and whenever the rain came and the storms came up and the winds blew, the house fell because it was built upon the sand. Now, everyone would know that that man was a foolish man. Who would dare ever imagine to build a house whenever the storms would come and it would be in the sands, and the sands would just be washed away? The Lord Jesus talked about the wise man. Well, he built his house upon a rock, and so therefore, whenever the rain came and the storm blew, thank God the rock didn't change, because the house stood because it was built upon a rock, and everyone would understand one man was wise and the other man was foolish. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about the 100 sheep and the man who lost one, and how the shepherd secured the 99 and then he went after one because there was one of his little sheep were lost. And people could understand the shepherd doing that, because in Bible times, shepherds were very common people. Do you remember what the psalmist says? The Lord is my shepherd. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And people understood what he was talking about. He talked about the wheat and the tares. He talked about the salt. He talked about the vineyard. He talked about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. In other words, he was very simple in his message. You know, sometimes I think that preachers try to impress people about what they know and who they are by their great words and anything else. You'll have no hard difficulty in understanding what I'm talking about, because let me tell you, I'm just as simple as what there is. But let me tell you, my friend, I remember a person one time saying about his ministry, he said, you know, we have the most amazing minister in our church. He said, let me tell you, he is the most amazing person. And listen, to tell me, he's so filled with education. Now, I don't know a word he's saying, but nevertheless, he's a great minister. Let me tell you, my friend, what a fool for a man to stand on a pulpit and talk over the heads of the people. I want to tell you, my friend, I'm not here to talk over anybody's head. I'm here to talk in God's name to your heart. And here's the word of God and Jesus Christ. He spoke about the very simple things that people understand. But Jesus Christ was a serious preacher. I want to tell you, my friend, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking, he spoke about eternal realities. It was Jesus who talked about heaven. It was Jesus that talked about hell. And it's interesting to notice this, that when our Savior was upon this earth, 13 times he preached about hell, and once he preached about heaven. And friend, when you go into preachers and churches today, let me tell you, it seems to be there is no hell. That's just removed from it all. I want to tell you, 1 second after your death, you'll find how wrong the preacher was. Hell's as real today as ever it was. I want to tell you, friend, Jesus Christ was a serious preacher. He spoke exposing man's sin, and thank God he spoke about the offer of salvation to poor, lost, guilty sinners. It was to Nicodemus that Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16, the most favorite verse perhaps in the whole of the Bible. Jesus was a serious preacher. He was a very straight-talking preacher. The Lord Jesus said this to the people. He says, except you repent, you'll perish. That's straight, isn't it? There's no bitting around the corner there. There's no frills about what the Savior's talking about, friend. He said, listen, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Friend, I want to tell you tonight, I'm here simply to preach the Word of God as God has given it. Now, let me tell you, if you turn with me just now to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here. And I want to tell you, if you notice there, in verse number 1 of chapter 12, in the meanwhile, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that he trode one upon the other, and he began to say unto disciples, first of all, he's speaking first to the disciples, he said this, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And so he's giving them a warning here. What's he talking about here, friend? He's talking about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Another, beware ye. You need to sit up and listen and pay attention. There's a danger here. What's the leaven of the Pharisees, friend? Which is hypocrisy. Beware of the snare of popularity. And you know, sometimes the minister is tempted, my friend, to forget the Word of God as it really is. And he no longer preaches the Word of God. There's no longer sin anymore in the pulpit. There's no longer the exposing of sin. There's no longer telling a man that he is a sinner. He tells them they're not too bad after all. Just do the best you can and you'll make it out in the end of it. Let me tell you, he's a liar. It's as straight as that. He might have a round collar. He's a liar. For sin's still in the book. And sin is still in man's heart. And I want to tell you, my friend, may we take the verses and push them away and never mention them and tell people that they can do the best they can and go to heaven. I want to tell you this, they'll do the best they can, they'll go to hell. Because the best you can is sin. Because the Bible says, the Word of God says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. All your righteousnesses, that's the best you can. All your righteousnesses, this is what the Word of God says, is as filthy rags. Filthy rags. And that's what people are offering to God tonight. They say, God, you better let me into heaven. Here's my filthy rags. You think that God's going to open the door of heaven, friend, and say, come on in? Let me tell you, friend, heaven's a prepared place for a prepared people. Heaven is a sinless place. And I can tell you this, not that defileth shall ever enter in. That's what God says. And God says to the Lord Jesus says to the disciples, you just beware. You beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Yes, the word hypocrisy, there is an actor, one who plays the part, pretender. You should beware. You know, the Lord Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And friend, tonight there are men and women, and all they have is a profession, but there's no possession. And I can tell you, if that's all you have, you're not saved. You know, men and women say, well, I'll make a little profession, I'll sign a little card, and sure, I'm on my way to heaven. I want to tell you, the Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The work of grace of God in the heart makes a person new. And the person that says, well, listen, I signed a card, and they go out into sin just the same as they ever did before, and it never bothers them. I tell you, friend, they can sign as many cards as they like. Never take them to heaven. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, born of God. And that new birth, and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you, it's born of God. It's born from above. It's the work of God's grace in the heart. And when God saves a man, he changes a man. And sinner, if you're not changed, I can tell you this. Listen to me carefully. It's time you were. Time you got a Jesus. For Jesus changes hearts. Zacchaeus was up that tree, and let me tell you, my friend, he was just a wee rotten rascal up the tree. He was a thief. He was a tax collector, and he was a thief. God bless you if you're a tax collector in the meeting tonight, but I'm not talking about you necessarily. Well, if you are wrong, then so let it be. Amen. But let me tell you, he was up that tree, and he wanted to see Jesus. Let me tell you, the Lord looked up that tree, and he saw him. And he saw him exactly as he was. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down. Get down out of your tree. And there's people here tonight, and let me tell you, if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to get out of the tree of your pride. Because you're proud of your religion, you're proud of your self-righteousness, you're proud of your uprightness. And now you look down the nose at others. And the Lord Jesus said, listen, beware, beware of the hypocrites, the actors. Carried away. Want the people, yes, to think that they're all right. They pretend that everything's right with God, friend. But deep down in their heart, they know they're not saved. But they've got to act it out. And Jesus said, beware of that. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, look at verse number 2. He says, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Jesus talks about the judgment. The day of judgment. The day when man will stand before God, friend, and the books of God are going to open. And it's just you and God. It's you and God. And the record of your life's read. Of the judgment. And God's warning you about that. And the Lord Jesus Christ is warning about the day of judgment when man stands in the very presence of God himself and answers for the life when the truth shall be uncovered about your soul. And then in verse number 4, very quickly he says, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that of no more that they can do, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. What's he warning here? He's warning about the fear of man. He says, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that there's no more they can do. And you know, there are people tonight and they would love to be saved. And they know they need to be saved. And why are they not saved? I'll tell you. Because they're afraid of man. They're afraid of others. They're afraid of their companions, their workmates. They're afraid of their family, perhaps a mother. What would I say if I went home and told my mother I was saved? Let me tell you, my friend. What if you go to hell? What if you die in your sin, my friend, and go out into God's eternity and you're lost forever? And you go out into the blackness of darkness of hell forever. Remember a woman one time, I went to see her. She was very concerned about her soul's salvation. I went and was talking to her. Now this lady had a lot of tragedy in her life, a lot of sorrow. Her husband was tragically killed. Under farm machinery. This man knew the gospel. His wife was not saved. And I remember she had been sitting under the preaching, my preaching, for years and years. And when I went to see her that day, she was sitting. She said, Mr. McRae, I want to ask you a question. I says, what is it, dear? She's telling me, where's my husband? I said, what do you mean? He had died before I ever was in the area of Macrofelt. She said, I want to ask you a question. My husband died suddenly, as you know. Tell me, where's my husband tonight? Well, I said, let me tell you, dear, I'm not the judge. I can't answer that question. I know if a person's saved, they'll be in heaven. If a person's not saved, they'll be in hell. She says, my husband wasn't saved. And if what you're saying is true, my husband's in hell. I said, listen, dear, your husband knew the gospel and God was good to your husband because God didn't take him away immediately. Your husband lay under that machinery for some time before he died. And God gave him an opportunity. So I cannot say that your husband's in hell. That's between him and God. Tragedy came into her life. After her husband died, she gave birth to a little child, a little baby. 6 months later, the little baby died. She's left all alone. And friend, let me tell you, she wasn't laughing when she was asking me the question about her husband. No, friend, she was serious. And the tears were running down her cheeks. And then she said these words, I never forget them. She says, Mr. McRae, what you're preaching's true. My husband's in hell. And if my husband's in hell, I want to go to hell too. And friend, she was sitting over there and she was crying and I was sitting here in this seat and I was crying. I said, you know, I've got to be faithful to you. I love your soul. I cannot say that your husband's lost in hell because I do believe that God in mercy give him a blessed opportunity to get right with him. That's between him and God, and that day is past. But I want to tell you something.
that God reminds me of. You say, if my husband's in hell, I want to go to hell too. I want to say this honestly and I want to say it lovingly. And I was crying for him with a broken heart. I said, I want to tell you, there are no family reunions in hell. Because the Bible tells me it's the blackness of darkness forever. There's no sitting around the fire, friend of hell, to have a chat like the front room. You say, do you believe, preacher, that we'll know each other in heaven? Yes, I do. But I want to tell you, we don't each know each other in hell. It's the blackness of darkness forever. Forever. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking about a serious thing, and he's talking about the reality of the judgment, and then the fear of man. And then he says this, I'll tell you what to fear. Look at verse 5. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The Lord Jesus now takes a man from time, and then out to the judgment, and then into eternity. He's a serious preacher. And then if you go on very quickly, go on to verse number 10. Whomsoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Friend, he talks about the unpardonable sin. The sin which will never be forgiven. And I'll tell you why it's never forgiven. Because it is never repented of. God in grace and God in mercy by his Holy Spirit, as our brother talked as he stopped him on the road. And God is speaking to your heart tonight about eternal things. And God is calling you, sinner. He's calling you to repentance. That's why you're in this mission tonight. You're not here by chance. Not one of you in this meeting tonight by chance. Not one unconverted person that's here by chance. God has you here for a purpose. And unknown to you, when you're coming through that door tonight, you're in the will of God coming through that door, and the purpose of God to hear the gospel preached. And God's given you a chance to be saved. But a man can say no to the Spirit of God. And a man or woman can reject the call of the Spirit of God. And God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. And God speaking can stop. And a man can cross the deadline between God's mercy and God's wrath. And God says that sin will never be forgiven. He says, I warn you. And I'm warning you tonight in God's name, don't you play around with your soul tonight. You and I are on the travelers to God's eternity, either to heaven or hell, and we're on the road right now. We're on that road right now. And God has set eternity in your heart, friend, and God has put a beating clock within your breast. But let me tell you, there comes a moment when God says, time's up. Let me tell you, you can't fool around with the things of God, friend. Let me tell you, there comes a day whenever God says, just like whenever Belshazzar had his feast. When he had taken those goblets that were used to be in the temple of God, and he filled them with wine, and now they're praised up, and they said, long live the king! Long live the king! Back in God. And God says, listen, party's over, Belshazzar. Party's over. The Bible says on that night, the shadow of the king of the Chaldean was slain. The party was over. Let me tell you, God can stop the party. Don't you try and take God on, friend, because let me tell you, there's not one big enough in this meeting tonight to take God on. Don't you dare lift your fist in the face of God and say, listen, I'll do whatever I like, God. Let me tell you, you'll take your sin and do whatever you like with your sin. But remember these words, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of your sin, you'll get pay. You'll get your just pay. The wages of your sin's death. Eternal separation from God forever. And I wouldn't be in your shoes for all the world, friend.
Because the Word of God says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You say, why am I saying all those things? Listen, the Lord Jesus was talking about very serious things. Don't you agree with me? About those that were only the pretenders, about the fear of man, about judgment, about hell, about the unpardonable sin. Look at verse 13. And one of the company said unto a master, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. In the midst of all that serious thing, as if Jesus never had been speaking at all, as if the Savior had not been dealing about great spiritual truths, this man intervenes and he interrupts the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shows an absolute disrespect for the Savior, and he showed an absolute disinterest in what the Savior was preaching about. And all he said was this. He said, stop, Lord. He said, would you tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me? Now, friend, would you hardly take it in that a person could listen to the lovely Lord Jesus himself preaching such serious things, and all he's thinking about was inheritance, money. He didn't get what he thought he deserved, and so therefore he says, Lord Jesus, would you talk to my brother? Because I want him to divide his inheritance with me. He got it and I didn't. You tell him. And Jesus was talking about eternity, and all he can think about is time. And all he can think about is money. Let me tell you this, friend. Don't you start laughing at that man, because let me tell you, there's many a man sat in gospel meetings where the Spirit of God has been moving and they have been thinking about tomorrow. They're thinking about the work in the morning. They're thinking what they're going to do. How many fields they're going to plough. How many machines they're going to use and all the rest of it. And a gospel meeting, and it can be a serious place. And men and women, let me tell you, can be concerned about their soul. And yet somebody could sit in a meeting like that and then never have a thought of the things of God. Now what did Jesus say? He says, Man. There's a blunt form of addressing. The Savior wasn't in the business of settling inheritance, friend. The Savior was in the business of settling eternal issues. The issue of man's soul. Let me ask you to be honest before God, friend. What bothers you more? What you have in your pocket, or what's on the table, or the clothes in your back, does that bother you more than where you'll be in God's eternity? Are you ready to meet God tonight? Where will you live after death? I was singing a few moments ago. Tell me, where would you be? If you like our brother's dear wife, and whenever the doctor says those words, listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. And friend, let me tell you, it could be you or it could be me tomorrow. Don't you boast about that. Are you ready? Honestly, before God, are you ready? Are you ready to go? You know, Elvis Presley was regarded as one of the... He was called the King of Rock and Roll. Elvis Presley had a stepbrother. His name was Rick Stanley. One night, Elvis was walking past Rick's room. He lived with Elvis, and he was walking past Rick's room. And he looked in, and he saw Rick Stanley. He was sitting there, and his hands was over his head, and he was weeping. And Elvis looked in and he says, what is it, Rick? What is it? He says, how much do you need? He thought everything could be bought by money. Rick Stanley turned to Elvis Presley and he said, you know, Elvis, no, it's not that. It's this girl called Robin, and she's been telling me I needed to get right with God. I needed to trust Jesus as my Savior. Elvis sat down beside Rick Stanley, friend. Let me tell you, the world was at his feet. He was worth a fortune. And these are the words he said. You know, Rick, she's right. It's time we all stop fooling around and get right with God. And Elvis sat there and he put his hands over his head. He says, "Oh God, show me a way." I'm going to tell you what Elvis said, friend. It's true. It's time we all start fooling around. Got right with God. You're headed to eternity. And tonight you could be in it. Are you saved? That's the only thing that'll matter. Doesn't matter what you own, friend. It doesn't matter what the community thinks about you. It's whether you're right with God or not. And Jesus said, verse 15, "Take heed and beware. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." There's more to life than that. It's your soul. And then Jesus told about a man. And very quickly, I want you to notice this man. Notice his prosperity. "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." In other words, it was fertile soil. It produced beyond expectation. And the Lord Jesus describes this man as a rich man. Let me tell you, friend, some people try to demean person who've got money. Let me say this to you. And they say, you know, money's the root of all evil. Well, let me tell you, I don't know what Bible you're reading. But it's not in this book. Didn't say that. Don't you twist the scriptures. Just you take the book as it says it. It says the love of money. And let me tell you, some people for the love of money, they tramp over everybody. Some people for the love of money, they don't care what lies they tell. They don't care what forms they fill in that are wrong. Listen, as long as they get it, take it whatever way you get. Let me tell you, Jesus says the love of money is the root of all evil. Abram was the richest man in the whole of the Bible. And he was called the friend of God. And God says to him, "Abraham, come on with me on a journey." He says, "Lord, where are you taking me?" He says, "Listen, don't you worry about where I'm taking you to." He says, "Come with me." And he went out, the Bible says, not knowing whither he went, but he looked for a city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker was God. And friend, he lived in a tent. And he's the richest man in the world. Because he knew he's only passing through. You know, there's something wrong with our society. Dear knows, it used to be whenever I was a growing up, you had maybe 6 or 7 children and they're all in about 2 or 3 rooms. And now they're building 6 or 7 rooms for 2 or 3 children. All right. Out in the country, look at the houses. And they're building bigger and better. And let me tell you, many a person, they're dying in debt for it. But they're just trying to impress. I'm as good as the rest of them. And what a messed up mind is that. We're not here to stay. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. This man was blessed. But you notice what happened with his blessings, friend. Listen, it brought forth plentifully. And verse 70, he thought within himself, "What shall I do? I've no room where to bestow my fruits." You see, his prosperity brought perplexity. He's now anxious, he's restless. What am I going to do? I know him. And the amazing thing is this is, Jesus says, he thought within himself, well, why didn't he ask somebody else? And I'll tell you why. Because he couldn't trust anybody else. He had so much that he's afraid that people were going to rob him. So he just had to talk to himself. Well, he asked one time, why did he talk to himself? He says, because there's nobody more wise to talk to. Listen, friend. He thought within himself, what am I going to do? He was a troubled man. Restless. And then notice his planning. Because he came to a decision. Verse 18, he says, this will I do. I'll pull down the barns. I'll build greater. And there I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods, yet not for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Here's what I'm going to do, he says. I've got a plan. And he thought about it, and he thought about it, and he thought about it, and then he came up with a plan. Those barns out there, I'm going to pull them down. I'm going to build bigger ones. Better ones. I'll be the talk of the country. And then I'm going to say to myself, I'm going to say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He's just going to lie back for the rest of it. Just enjoy the seal. For many years. What's your plan, friend? What's your plan? I want to tell you something. Do you notice in all of that? God blessed him, but God's nowhere to be found. God's not in his plans. Is God in your plan? Be honest. Where's God in your plan? Have you brought him into your life? Have you sought him first and his kingdom? And he's promised that he'll add all things unto yourself. Now this man wasn't irreligious. He says, I'll say to my soul. He knew about his soul. But he thought that his soul could be satisfied with things. Eat, drink, marry. Many years. But very quickly tonight, notice what God said, verse 20. But God said. You see, he never brought God into his plans, but God stepped in. And maybe God's not in your plans tonight, but I want to tell you this here. Don't you think you'll dismiss him? Because God will have the final say. You remember that? Here's a man and he thought he was in control of everything. I will pull down, notice, my barns, and I will build greater, and I will bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I'll say to my soul, six eyes and five mice. Until God steps into the story. But God said. Tell me, what did God say to you? God says, you're only a fool. He's just a fool. Now the Lord Jesus said he was a rich man. But listen, God said, you're only a fool. And I can tell you, my friend, it's a fool that has only planned for time, but has no plan for eternity. Because you're only here for time for a few years. And you're in eternity forever. Now what does a wise man do? Forget about eternity? Forget about a soul. Forget about salvation. Forget about heaven and hell. Oh, many persons say it, but don't worry. My preacher get me into heaven already. And friend, you stand at the grave sometimes, and I stand listening to preachers sometimes. And it's amazing. They bury them all in the sure and certain hope of the glorious resurrection. But they can't change the destiny. And many a man has been buried in sure and certain hope of a glorious resurrection, friend, and he's in hell. Because remember, before the preacher ever stands over your coffin, you're already there. Eternity! Eternity, where shall I be? in eternity. And I want to tell you, my friend, ere you leave this meeting tonight, I pray that that will follow after you, dear sinner. Eternity! God's eternity! Where will I be? In eternity. I'll tell you where you'll be, where you're ready for. And if you're saved, if you've humbled yourself and taken your place as a sinner and called on God to save you, thank God you'll be in heaven. Through the blood of God's Son. But dear friend, if you're not saved, no preacher standing at your coffin or at your grave will be able to change your destiny. For you're already there. In a Christless eternity. And God says, thou fool, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. This night. What did the man say? Many years. I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, I'm going to be merry. Many years. And God says, let me tell you, you're not going to see the end of this year. God says to me, I'm requiring your soul. And don't forget this, friend. God breathed into man and he became a living soul. And it's the same God who requires. And God will say to your body, give it up. I require your soul for eternity. Tonight. You know, whenever he finished his plans, we're going to finish. Whenever he finished his plans, I can see him. Boys, he said to himself, boys, I'm glad to get that set. It's all worked out. The barns here go. Get ready to put the digger in. Get ready to get the bricks and blocks and all ready and the cement and all, get them all ordered. Get that done tomorrow. But I can retire for the night. He's got the stairs. Puts his head upon the pillow pin. Now I don't know what happened that night, but that's what I do know. He never opened his eyes anymore. He was in eternity. 1 second in his house with all his plans, and the next second in hell with all his punishment. And he had planned for building. But he didn't get the building. He got a burial. Instead. I'm asking you before God, friend. Are you going to live like that? Are you going to die like that? Is God saying over you, thy fool, this night shall I... Thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose will these things be? He left all and without, with nothing. And that's where you'll go. Rich or poor, you'll be carried the same way. You go the same level. Carried out in somebody else's shoes. And put in a wee plot. But your soul's already in God's eternity. Heaven.